find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Virtually all the drinking water in Wisconsin passes the latest test with flying colors, but there's a catch. The Department of Natural Resources report for the last year says more than 99% of local water systems meet all health standards for lead, nitrates, bacteria, and other chemicals. But there was no official DNR test for PFAS chemicals last year. The agency says that will be different for this year's test. Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin this week. Here's Stuart J. Waddles with a preview.
The details about Kamala Harris's trip to Pleasant Prairie and Milwaukee Thursday aren't yet known, but she will be appearing with the Commerce Secretary to highlight investment in broadband and affordable connectivity. It's expected traffic on I-94 between the two cities will be impacted during the vice presidential visit. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The vice president's visit is part of an August travel blitz by the Biden cabinet and senior White House officials to promote what the administration calls its Investing in America agenda. They're highlighting efforts to bring down health care costs, invest in clean energy, and rebuild infrastructure. A Democratic congressman says Republicans are setting the federal government up for a shutdown this fall. Mark Pocan points to inaction in the House Appropriations Committee as proof.
If they can't even pass the bills they're putting out with their members, it's going to very likely be a shutdown because they're okay with that. And no one should accept that as you know, another day in Washington.
Pocan was on Up Front on WISN-TV Sunday. Wisconsin has the largest and longest-running apprenticeship program for high school students in the country. The Urban Institute says it's a model for others. Mike Moen has more.
The Institute's Robert Lerman helped compile the findings. It says the Badger State's approach really gets to the heart of blending academics with on-the-job training.
They have part of the day or part of the week. They're at their workplace, but the whole point is that the workplace is a learning center for them.
The Institute says another highlight of Wisconsin's program is that it has statewide curriculum skill standards, meaning an apprentice's credentials can be portable. Researchers say a weak spot is limitations for youth to move on to registered apprentice systems that offer extended training. I'm Mike Moen.
A judge in Waukesha is dismissing a Republican lawsuit over military voting lists. The judge says they improperly named the Wisconsin Elections Commission as the defendant instead of the election official. State Representative Janelle Branchton and others sued in November to stop counting absentee military ballots. The judge says the suit should have named a local clerk in charge of maintaining a list of eligible military voters in the community. I'm Terry Bell.
For 105.7 WCFW and the TAP FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. No one is hurt after a house fire in Chippewa Falls on Saturday. The Chippewa Falls Fire Department said that a cat and a dog were rescued from the fire, but no people were hurt. The fire caused about $75,000 in damage and likely started in the kitchen, with fire damage kept to the first floor of the home on the 800 block of Dover Street. The fire department said that the fire is under investigation. One person is dead after a crash in Rusk County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup truck driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be pleasant, with temperatures getting to around 80 degrees. We'll warm up by midweek when storm chances return. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Big crowds today at the Packers training camp. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge turnout of fans as the Packers practice in pads for the first time this camp. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Now you're starting to play some real football. You know, again, continue to work on our standards in terms of how we practice in our process. So I'm looking forward to see these guys with more like real football.
The play of the day was a 45-yard pass down the right sideline from Jordan Love to wide receiver Christian Watson, good for a touchdown.
He is one of the most intelligent players that I've ever been around, especially, you know, you talk about the wide receiver position. The thing that is so unique about Christian is you can line him up at the Z and tell him the next play, you know, somebody might come out, hey, you got to go play F or you got to go play X. and he doesn't blink.
And there was a special guest after practice, Hall of Famer Peyton Manning, paid the team a visit, then later went inside to reportedly talk about featuring Jordan Love on his Netflix documentary series called Quarterback, Manning signing autographs for fans along the bike path. Elsewhere in the NFL, Broncos wide receiver Tim Patrick had to be carted off the field. Head coach Sean Payton says the concern is it's a torn Achilles tendon. Baseball, the Brewers' road trip continues tonight in Washington, D.C., where they open a three-game set against the Nationals. Then it's back home to Milwaukee with a four-game series against the Pirates starting Thursday night. The Brewers' pitching has been solid except for over the weekend when they gave up 29 runs after losing a three-game sweep in Atlanta. Julio Teheran is out 15 days with a hip injury. Brandon Woodruff still rehabbing that shoulder. Wade Miley could be back Wednesday. Who's the odd man out? Craig Counsell.
You know, we hope to get Woody back. That's going to mean that's going to cost somebody a spot. We're on the way to get Miley back. We don't have off days coming up. We have off days in the month of August. So all that's going to factor into some starting pitcher decisions. You know, I hope we get to that point.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports from Packers training camp in Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Hour 2, a Keep Our Republic Monday edition. Dom, I find myself live on the road. I'm at the Chippewa County Courthouse. I'm previewing an event called Keep Our Republic, and this is to educate the public on the voting and elections machinations here in the state of Wisconsin. There's been an undermining of the voting confidence here, and there is an effort afoot, a bipartisan effort, to restore confidence in the electoral process of the state of Wisconsin. This is being led by former state senator Kathy Bernier. And Dom, I find myself here to see what the happenings are, see if I can edify myself and, you know, help promote the event. You can still attend. It's at the Chippewa County Courthouse down in the basement. It's going to start about 6 o'clock. They got victuals and everything, man. They're going to feed people, Dom. So about 6 to 9, they'll get you out promptly by 9, but it'll be worth the attendance and plenty of time for socializing. It's not a 3-hour presentation so much as a couple hours of learning and, you know, some talkifying, some eating and drinking and being married. I intend to do all of the above.
I can appreciate that, Crudy. And I do appreciate, you know, some folks making the effort. I do wonder, you know, how much it will time and it should be reflected upon what specifically what mega Republicans have lied to the American people about, have lied to Wisconsinites about. There's a reason why we have this issue, why we have a lack, not we, but some folks have a lack of confidence in our election system, because you got people like Donald Trump and the mega Republicans saying it was lie, it was stolen, there's fraud, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, there's no evidence of that, no proof of that. Lots of cases, lots of hell, conservative groups, governmental groups looking at the election. That's not the case. That didn't happen that way. That's not what it is. So a lot of this, of course, is because of MAGA, because specifically Donald Trump lost the election. So I hope that there's some reflection for the Republicans. If you're on that side, and I understand Kathy Bernier, she is a Republican, that she did push back on the MAGA Republicans, but there's still a lot of MAGA Republicans that are down with this, that are still down with the big lie, that even over the last several weeks still continue to push that. So there's a long way to go in that regard, but it's got to start somewhere.
Dominic, we got some good news for our Democratic friends, or at least those that are supportive of our
vice president. She's making another trip to the great state of Wisconsin this Thursday. Kamala Harris coming to Pleasant Prairie and Milwaukee. I'm going to spend some time in that part of the state as well this week, Dom. She'll be accompanied by Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. Harris will talk up the administration's broadband and affordable connectivity efforts during a stop in Pleasant Prairie. Now, that's down near Robin Voss's district. Do you think he'll be there?
I highly doubt it.
Then she's due to be in Milwaukee, where she'll deliver remarks at two campaign receptions, according to a White House official. Harris's visit comes just over a month after the administration announced Wisconsin will receive, this is a lot of jingdom, $1 billion with a B, dollars in federal funds to expand high-speed internet access throughout the state. The money comes from broadband equity access and a deployment program, funds approved in the 2021 bipartisan, that means Republicans voted for it, the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And the campaign stops in Wisconsin are first for Harris in the 2024 election cycle, Dom, because don't forget, we've begun where Wisconsin is once again a key battleground in the path to the White House. Sabato's crystal ball, an election handicapper, rated Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia as four toss-up states in 2024. Dom, I'm feeling way more confident than that.
Wisconsin continues to be the toss-up state. It's going to be decided here. We welcome the vice president. I'm sure all the Republicans are going to lose their freaking mind because that's what they do.
Well, that's the first time Kamala Harris has been in the state since 2022. And you know what I'm going to lose my mind about? She'll probably go on Earl's show.
844-967-2789. We do have some updates on the goings-on in Fulton County, but let's get some callers in while we have a moment. Catherine from Madison, Wisconsin, you're up. Welcome, Catherine. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, guys. I was just calling you on a different topic. Actually, I saw your sign yesterday at the Mad Radio stage at the Atwood Fest. It was cool to see your logo up there.
Oh, nice.
I got a letter in the mail. Yeah, it was really neat. There was good music playing, too. I got a letter in the mail, and it was from the Nielsen Company, and I opened it up, and $2 bills fell out. And I went, whoa, what are these? You know, they offered me, I guess they sent the money to prove that they were legit or something, and they said that if I send back a card, they will have me fill out a radio diary of what I listened to when for a week. How about that?
Well, either you should do it, Catherine.
Careful. Don't want to be tampering, guys. Don't want to be tampering.
I know. So then they said they would send me $5 if I complete the thing. So I said, sure. So, you know, I mean, I listen to the radio all the time. So I sent it back, and we got these two things that look like those things that they put checks in when you get checks delivered in the mail, like a little thing you open up with, you know. And in there was this diary. And they sent another dollar with each one, and it's two diaries. And they said that the other person, if I get another family member to fill it out, will get $5 too. So we're filling out diaries starting to next Thursday, and we can't send them. We fill out for, you know, it's actually all day long. You say what you're listening to and what you're doing at the time. So I guess we'll have to clean up our acts a little bit around here and do productive things.
Nah. Here's all I will say, Catherine. Don't spend it all in one place.
I know. Yeah. So we're going to make like a total of, let's see, it'll be like five and four, make a total of $14, I guess, doing this between us. But I just never
knew. I might buy you dinner for two at Mickey D's.
That's right.
Yeah, Catherine. So it depends on the size of the market. Sometimes they'll send out diaries like you have received. Larger markets, I think probably like 50 or bigger, they'll actually, you know, put in tones that you can hear, and then you can have a people meter that will register it so you don't have to write it down. But Madison's not that big yet, so they're still on the diary. But appreciate you letting us know, and make sure you spend that money wisely.
That was interesting. Yeah, I will. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. 844-967-2789. Dana from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Welcome, Dana. What do you got?
Happy Monday, Devils. How are you?
Happy Monday, man. Awesome, man.
Wisconsin.
Indeed.
Say, a little off topic here, but actually, I just kind of wanted to get this out before CJ called in because it's never off topic for him. I had a thought today, you know, regarding Hunter and Joe and And CJ and his ilk's insistence that they are the biggest criminals ever in the history of the United States government. Well, since Joe is currently president, he could very well just pardon himself and Hunter right now and make this all go away, yet he hasn't. So I'm just wondering if CJ has any explanation for that.
Well, here is a headline over at CNN, and Hunter Biden's business partner, a guy named David Archer, gave congressional testimony today, and it was the promise he's going to implicate the big guy. He's going to take down Joe Biden. But here, from the testimony given, and this was behind closed doors, we didn't see the testimony publicly, but the headline, because there were Democrats in the chamber, and they did come out and immediately say, here's what was said. Former business partner says Hunter Biden sold the illusion of access to Joe Biden. Again, this was a nothing burger.
Not illegal.
Well, not illegal to pretend like, you know, I mean, here's what he did. He'd get his old man on the phone. He'd talk about the weather or something. Hey, Dad, I got Bob Smith here, and Bob and I are going to do some business. Oh, hey, Bob, I'm Joe Biden. Nice to meet you. But the actual context of business, at least per the testimony as I've seen reported by CNN and others, Archer didn't claim that Joe Biden was actually part of any of the business dealings. So all Hunter said is, you've seen my last name. You know the big guy. He's my old man. He sold the illusion. So anyways, I don't know if our buddy CJ knows what illusion means. That was not a Grateful Dead, a Guns N' Roses album.
One and two. Yes, they released it. They went on tour before they released the album. So Emily Brooks over at The Hill, she tweeted out on this. She's quoting Rep. Dan Goldman. He's a Democrat. He says that Devin Archer indicated that Hunter spoke to his father every day. And approximately 20 times over the course of a 10-year relationship, Hunter may have put his father on the phone with any number of different people, and they never once spoke about any business dealings, quote unquote. Continuing on from Goldman. As he described it, it was all casual conversation, niceties, the weather, what's going on. There wasn't a single conversation about any of the business dealings that Hunter had. From the testimony of Hunter's business partner, as relayed to us by Democratic Rep. Dan Goldman.
So, Dom, would you describe this as another nothing burger? I mean, they keep promising the smoking gun, but it never comes to fruition, at least not in any of the congressional hearings we've seen so far. You know, they've controlled the House for going on 2 years, Dom, and I've yet to see a smoking gun.
Also, Rep. Andy Biggs, he attended a deposition with Archer. He was asked questions. Can you talk about the bribe at all? One reporter shouted, the $5 million bribe. Biggs replied, Archer, you didn't know anything about it. You didn't know anything about that? The reporter pressed. No, Biggs concerned. So the testimony from Archer, he didn't know anything about a bribe and apparently testified that while Hunter Biden may have handed the phone off or had his father involved in some of these conversations, it was an illusion and just niceties.
You know, I often spoke with your dad, but we never really got into serious business with the big guy.
The big guy. You know,
just niceties. And was that. You know, some sports talk, some weather talk, some hugging.
Well, that's the whole thing. Listen, if there's a $5 million bribe, if Biden is involved in getting his son deal and his son's paying him off, I mean, those things, I can argue, that should be, if that was a thing, investigated. But that's not the thing. That's not what the testimony was today, at least according to Biggs and Goldman. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789.
Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls at 844-967-2789.
Why don't you take my breath away, Dom?
This is what I do. We got someone's going to take your breath away. His name has been invoked. That's how we roll around here. Someone brings you up, you get to say something. So the aforementioned CJ, you are up. Welcome, CJ. What did you think of
that? We got to let CJ on the line
of the Hunter testimony or the Archer testimony. Hunter's business partner today, CJ. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I do consider myself the civic radio truth detector here. yeah. We listened to you guys for 2 or 3 years and pencil neck the Russian collusion lie. Don't you guys get tired of lying to your listeners?
No, we don't lie to the listeners. There was actually Russian collusion, dude. So whatever you want to say about that, that's up to you. I mean, you've read the Mueller report. Yeah. Konstantin Kilimnik gave polling data, got polling data from Paul Manafort, who was Trump's campaign manager. That's a fact. That's in the reporting. That's a thing. So what?
You know, he didn't read the Mueller report.
Well, but whatever, man. So go on. What else you got, CJ? You got something else besides that, man? Because it sounds like Trump's, conspiracy. Yeah. You got to have some new stuff, man, if you're going to call the show.
How about the 9 family members that have gotten money from China, Romania, and Ukraine? And you're okay with
none of them
that.
Are named Joe.
Oh, really? We don't know that because they're not forthcoming, are they? They aren't forthcoming with information. We have to find it.
Well, okay. You're very curious about that, CJ.
Comment.
Yeah. No. Okay. Fair enough. And if there's something there, I'm hoping that you and the other mega sleuths will find it. And if there's wrongdoing, I will be there in support of you to make sure that justice is served. But on that note, let me ask you this. If Donald Trump left the office, hang on, CJ, I'm going to talk now and I'll let you talk when I get done. Cause I want to, if you're so concerned about the family members of the current president, of course, Hunter Biden, a private citizen, has his own legal problems, but Donald Trump's kids, specifically his daughter and his son-in-law, well, they made hundreds of millions of dollars while in the White House. And when Jared got out, he got $2 billion from a Saudi investment fund for no apparent reason that I can tell, CJ. Do you think that is somewhat suspicious?
For no apparent reason, they have a business.
What business?
Got a sellout, the United States business.
What business does Jared have to get $2 billion? What's he doing with the $2 billion?
No prior investment experience.
You know what? But that's a, here's something too. That's a
billion, $2 billion, dude. No questions asked from
CJ.
From MBS, the bone saw.
It's whether an ally or not, it's a foreign power game. The son-in-law of the president, after he left office, $2 billion. And I think he got like Qatar or one of these other countries bailed out a 666 building in Manhattan as well. So if you're going to look at these kinds of issues, don't you think those very specific and very similar time, although bigger dollars, are also somewhat suspicious, CJ?
Nice deflection, Dom. But how about the China?
Okay, see. 844-967-2789. Of course, the answer is yeah. Why did Jared Kushner get $2 billion? He's not an investor. He's a real estate guy who's losing his ass on 666, man. So, if you're going to have an open mind, and I do, if there's something out there, if the big guy is getting money laundered through his family and ending up in his bank account for illegally, okay. Prosecute it. I'm down. Present the evidence and go after it. But also, shouldn't you be curious? Shouldn't you be curious about why Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis?
I thought I was the big guy and you were the little guy. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If your name's not CJ, your call is welcome here at 844-967-2789. But you got to deal in facts. You got to start with the facts. Let's start there. Dom, I'm up here at the Chippewa County Courthouse, a big Keep Our Republic event going on at 6 o'clock. The victuals are being delivered now here in the back. So I'm near the food. That's exactly where I need to be.
844-967-2789. We talked about, let's get some of the news out there on the topic. New York Times reporting, judge rejects Trump effort to short-circuit Georgia elections case. Fulton County judge chided Donald Trump's lawyers for unnecessary and unfounded legal filings ahead of indictments expected in mid-August. Now, let's not forget, we are also now in the window. Fulton County DA gave us a window starting today in the next 3 weeks. They're going to drop, or some decision will be made. I would expect that she'll drop some indictments. Here's what the Times has to say on this. A Georgia judge forcefully rejected on Monday an effort by former President Trump to derail an investigation into attempts by Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election loss in the state. Investigation expected to yield indictments in mid-August. Trump tried to get Judge Robert McBurney of Fulton County Superior Court in Atlanta to throw out evidence collected by a special grand jury and disqualify the prosecutor overseeing the investigation. But in a 9-page order, Judge McBurney wrote that Mr. Trump did not have the legal standing to make such challenges before indictments were handed up. The judge said the injuries, quote unquote, that Mr. Trump claimed to have suffered from the 2.5-year investigations are either insufficient or else speculative and unrealized. And he goes on, when you scroll down here a little bit, get some of the meat for you. Judge McBurney in his ruling seemed to have little patience for the arguments from Mr. Trump's legal team, and he suggested that Mr. Trump's lawyers were gumming up the legal process with frivolous filings. No. Quote, in the future, counsel is encouraged to follow the professional standard of inquiring with chamber staff about timing and deadlines before burdening other courts with unnecessary and unfounded legal filings. Oh, damn. For some, being the subject of a criminal investigation can, a la Rumpelstiltskin, be turned into a golden political capital, making it seem more providential than problematic. Regardless, simply being the subject or target of an investigation does not yield standing to bring claim to halt that investigation in court. Frivolous, you say? Interesting. Unfounded legal filings. Not Trump's attorneys. I mean, he hires only the best people.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates, Crudy on the road in the Chippewa County area. Dom in the broadcast bunker. You on the phones next, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Big Monday edition. Dom Crudy on the road again. I am up here at the Chippewa County Courthouse, the event, Keep Our Republic. You can find the preview at keepourrepublic.com. This is a Wisconsin election process event being held starting at 6 o'clock right here at the Chippewa County Courthouse. And we're down in the basement. The admission's free. I got cold cuts and cookies and cold sodas. I mean, anything you could want. And the Devil's Advocates, at least Crudy, in the back of the class. So, you know, I'm exactly where I should be at this moment in history.
844-967-2789. Folks, I know we've been talking a lot in the last several days about Wisconsin's Congressman Derek Van Orden, but you know, articles keep coming out about him, and I want to share a couple with you. Number one, our guest from last week, Scott Ross, firebrand Gemini, friend of the Devils, he tweeted this. I want to share this with some folks. Rep Dietrich, remember I talked, Crudy, about the female legislator that had some issues with this? Here's what
Barb Dietrich,
yes. Tries to defend her hideous tweets about the Nazis in Watertown this weekend. Here's one of the two she deleted where she compares LGBTQ people to Nazis. She is the legislature's leading homophobe, transphobe, just disgusting, Ross writes. And here is what Ross claims was the deleted tweet from Rep Barbara Dietrich, a state rep here in the state of Wisconsin. I have learned that a neo-Nazi group decided to stir things up outside the open-air drag show in Watertown today. I find that loathsome. How shamefully far things have descended in our communities between sexualizing kids and disturbing hate groups. So this is Rep Dietrich saying they're both the same. Drag queens reading a book is the same as Nazis. But apparently she didn't tell that to the Nazis. You know what I mean? 844-967-2789. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
Cap times.
And two knives.
Wisconsin has had plenty of embarrassing congressional representatives over the years, and I'll throw in their governor. But we are serious when we say that not even the most lamentable of the state's previous representatives in the U.S. House can compare with Derek Van Orden, the first-term representative from Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. The notoriously thin-skinned and easily agitated character with a record of making trouble for himself and others, like the time in 2021 when he was arrested for attempting to carry a fully loaded handgun through a security checkpoint in the Iowa airport. Van Orden has a weird penchant for picking on teenagers. Yes, Cap Times, I've noticed that myself. Thank you for articulating that. 2 years ago, when he was running for Congress, he made headlines harassing teenage aide at the Prairie du Chien Memorial Library because he was upset by a display of books on LGBTQ topics. According to Kerrigan Trausch, who was at the time 17 years old at the Prairie du Chien Memorial Library, Van Orden went into a rage over a display of fiction and nonfiction books that was part of the library's focus on Pride Month. Hell, can't believe he got pride. Infuriated because he thought a book about former Vice President Mike Pence's pet rabbit, quote, was skewing young people to think Republicans are not inclusive. I mean, who would give young kids that idea? Van Orden became increasingly loud and aggressive, demanding to know who's responsible for the display because he wanted to, quote, teach them a lesson.
Well, teach actually, that'd lesson. Be John Oliver, wouldn't it?
I think so. That was his book. The encounter with the ranting and raving 51-year-old congressional candidate was very uncomfortable and threatening, Trausch said. He was full-on shouting at this point. He kept aggressively shoving the books around. That was a big story about Van Orden in 21. Big story about Van Orden in 23 is even more unsettling. But one element remains steady. He's still picking on teenagers. Well, let's just say this. You can be 18 and 19 and not be a minor. These are minor teenagers, 16 and 17 years old. Van Orden reportedly began screaming obscenities at U.S. Senate pages who were in the rotunda of the Capitol late Wednesday evening. After, I would also point out, a beer and cheese party after midnight. The Hill newspaper, which covers Capitol Hill, reminds us.
Constituent services.
The pages are a group of 16 and 17-year-olds who assist state operations when the Senate works late, as it did Wednesday night. Pages generally rest nearby in the rotunda. According to a transcript written by a page minutes after the incident, which was obtained by The Hill, Van Orden entered the rotunda around midnight and went off. Wake the F up, you little S's. What the F are you doing here? Get the F out of here. You're defiling the space, you pieces of S. Van Orden said, according to an account provided by the page. Who the F are you? Van Orden asked, to which one person said they were pages. I don't give a F who you are. Get out, you jackasses. Get out, he said. In addition to being ignorant about who works in the Capitol where he serves, Van Orden was demonstrably out of control. Leaders of both parties took notice. I understand that late last night, a member of the House majority thought it was appropriate to curse at some of these young people, these teenagers, in the rotunda, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said on Thursday. I was shocked when I heard about it. I am further shocked at his refusal to apologize to these young people. Of the pages, generally high school students who come from all 50 states and sponsored by senators of both parties, Schumer said, they're here when we need them, and they have served this institution with grace, perhaps unlike Mr. Van Orden. Or did you know his middle name's Francis? Let's just start calling him Francis. In a rare show of bipartisan agreement, I mean, really, this guy is so bad, he's bringing McConnell and Schumer together. Quote, everybody on this side of the aisle feels exactly the same way. Oh, man. I guess you could say he's a unifier. Unfortunately, instead of apologizing, Van Orden doubled down and claimed he was preventing the rotunda from being desecrated by the pages. It's worth noting that there's no evidence that pages were doing any harm. It's also worth noting, according to the Cap Times editorial, that according to an Associated Press report, Van Orden also appeared to embrace the presence of alcohol in his office the same evening he encountered the pages. Images were posted on social media showing bottles of liquor and beer cans on a desk in his office. Van Orden said on X, Twitter, the alcohol was from constituents. We won't speculate on the full story behind Van Orden's office party may be, although we do wonder whether the House Committee on Ethics might be prevailed upon to sort through the details. What we can say is this. With his vulgarity-laced threatening of pages, Derek Van Orden has shamed himself in Wisconsin by picking on innocent teenagers. Again. As U.S. Rep. Mark Pocan said after the details of Van Orden's late-night implosion came to light, the smartest thing for anyone to do would be admit you were a jerk, apologize, and move on. Van Orden's failure to do so gives voters in Western Wisconsin all the information they need for making their choice in 2024. While the bar for maturity and self-control is low in the current Congress, Derek Van Orden has stumbled beneath it. How is that even possible? Whether Van Orden is defeated in the Republican primary or in the next November's general election, voters have good reason to conclude that a middle-aged man who keeps picking on teenagers has no place in the U.S. House of Representatives, the Cap Times editorial today.
Dom, there will be no primary. He is reflective of the Republican Party, man. They are insurrectionists. This is their kind of guy. He's not going to give you primary. He might lose in the general, I'd like to think. Down with, let's say, 5 radio stations in the third CD, including the one here in Chippewa Falls, where I'm at right now, 93.5 The Tap. Not technically at the radio station. I am at the Chippewa County Courthouse. Big event happening in the third CD, because technically I'm in Van Orden's district right now. It is called Keep Our Republic, and it is about hoping to establish confidence in the elections. And I don't think we'll see Derek Van Orden at the big event tonight, Don, but I'll look out for him. If he's here, I'll let you know.
Yes, please do. Please do. You know, he's probably one of those folks that are giving people the thought that perhaps there's something wrong with our elections. Of course, he was at the January 6th insurrection. He claims he wasn't, but he was. He claims he didn't go inside. We don't know that he did, but he was certainly there. So this is what we get to deal with now. But I would say this. On Twitter, he's pretty active on Twitter. He hasn't tweeted anything out since the 27th. So it's been what, since last Thursday? Now, it's pretty rare, based on my viewing of his thread, to go that long. So maybe he's, you know, praying on it, doing some reflection. And right now he's writing his apology speech to talk to the kids about. But I doubt it.
That's what you do. Lots of praying on it, right, Don?
Yes, thoughts and prayers for everyone who ever has to deal with Francis Van Orden.
844-967-2789.
So not on Van Orden. We're going to move along from that, but I did see that. I got to share that, because this guy is, I mean, literally, he's got to be the worst congressional representative right now. I mean,
He may not even be the worst from the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, come on.
I'm looking at you, Glenn Grossman. I mean, looking at you, Todd Tiffany.
George Santos isn't like physically threatening children. You know what I'm saying? You know, all these Nazis that came to Watertown over the weekend. You know, if you see a guy like that threatening kids, I mean, if you got a problem with, you know, people threatening kids, you know, the pedophiles and all that, Nazis. Well, what about Van Orden? He was literally, you know, nose to nose with 16 years old. After midnight, after God knows how much drinking cheese he's doing, threatening them. I mean, just like, of course, it's very similar to the Nazis who were tapping the rifles when journalists were following them around Watertown. But I digress. A lot of that attitude seems to be the same. But if you Nazis and Republicans, you care about the kids, perhaps you should, you know, tell Van Orden to chill out. He does not deserve to be there. And anybody that can bring Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer together, you know, that's pretty bad and noteworthy.
Don, we got a texter from the 920. I was going to say Van Orden sounds like he was agitated from not getting his nightly alcohol on time. That's how you get up.
That's not true. I get it. Always get it on time. Oh, so what else? Getting back to Fulton County, Fawnie Willis. She was interviewed over the weekend. This one coming from 11alive.com. I seen an affiliate down in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Fannie Willis was speaking ahead of potential charges. It's unclear if Trump will be charged, but getting a little more insight, here's what she had to say. She said back to school events are her favorite time of year and bringing joy before the big decision she has to make in the next few weeks. Yeah, I think we know what that decision is going to be. I was a single mom, Willis said, and I can remember at the beginning of the school year is that one more financial hit. We want to relieve the stress for our parents. Yeah, school season's coming up. Mother of three says she, Amari Atati says she hadn't even started school shopping yet. However, events like this take the load off. You know, helping kids out, helping folks out before school. Willis was all smiles, giving away free school supplies at Morgan Falls Overlook Park in Sandy Springs. But after this, it's back to business. While the kids prepare for school, Willis is preparing for a potential indictment of former President Trump and his allies. Here's what she had to say. Some people may not be happy with the decisions that I'm making, Willis said. And sometimes when people are unhappy, they act in a way that could create harm. Willis didn't give many details, but said another way she's preparing is by upping security. She explained she wrote a letter to Fulton County's sheriff, Pat Labatt. I think that the sheriff is doing something smart in making sure that the courthouse stays safe. Let's not forget, put barriers around the Fulton County courthouse last week. I think the sheriff is doing something smart to make sure the courthouse stays safe. That includes a grand jury. Willis went on to say, I'm not willing to put any of the employees or constituents that come to the courthouse in harm's way. She said she's holding true to her commitment to giving the American people an answer by September 1st. This could be Trump's third indictment case this year. Saturday, students got to the work is accomplished. Here's what she had to say. The work is accomplished. We have been working for 2.5 years. We are ready to go. Willis blocked off much of August for her team to work remotely, asking judges not to schedule trials or in-person hearings from August 7th to August 14th.
What does imminent mean to you, Doug?
It means next week, baby. I think it's next week.
I thought it meant this week. I thought it meant like today or maybe tomorrow. Now, Dom, I've got a golf outing tomorrow. Gunga Galunga. Got to hit her straight and, you know, yeah. Hope to win some big prizes or something. But I will be off the airwaves tomorrow. So I suspect that's when the Trump indictments will
turn. Right. No doubt. When we're not on the air, that's when all the good stuff happens. But it is coming. And let's not forget, Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, he continues to push the buttons, continue their investigation. Grand juries continue to meet. And Donald Trump, the Trump PAC has spent more than $40 million on legal costs this year for himself and others. The Washington Post is reporting $40 million. All you Vegas, you keep giving your money to the quote-unquote billionaire so he can keep breaking the law and use your money, your hard-earned dollars, to keep on doing it. And he's polling even higher than he was.
Therefore, he'll get more money.
and he'll spend more money because he'll have more indictments.
And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s. Sunshine for tomorrow, nice day, a high in the mid-80s. Up to the upper 80s Wednesday with more sun. On Thursday, near 90 degrees as sunshine continues. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now it's 80.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. And make sure you stick around. Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn show coming up at 6 o'clock. Oh, I don't hear Crudy. What happened to Crudy? 844-967-2789. While we wait for Crudy on here, let's get this one out there too. Magistrate Court of Fulton County announced that anyone with court dates through August 18th would be expected to make their appearance virtually as local authorities weigh a decision on whether to indict Donald Trump. Officials on the court's Facebook page said anyone with court dates from July 31st through August 18th should use a Zoom link that can be requested by phone or email, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports. The Facebook post doesn't indicate a reason for the shift to virtual, but the timing tracks with Fulton County DA Fani Willis, her previous statement indicating many court workers would be directed to work remotely over the same period. Things are looking a little different around the downtown courthouse. If you have a court case in downtown Magistrate Court courtroom, please join us on Zoom on these dates. They give a bunch of dates and they give a phone number and some email requests. A Fulton County Sheriff's Office spokeswoman, Natalie Ammons, told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that the agency is coordinating with state and federal law enforcement to enhance security in advance of, quote, high-profile legal proceedings. Now, do you think they'd be doing this, Crudy, if they weren't going to lay down some indictments?
Well, I certainly wish they use the same definition of imminent that I used. Because imminent to me meant already. Like, I'm waiting. I want to see this. I want to hear it. I want to feel it. I want to taste it. And most importantly, I want Trump to feel it, hear it, taste it. Because it's going to be him, man, and the next round. Be it the Fulton County, be it the Fani Willis, or be it the Jack Smith, the special counselor. Either way, Don, the next round of indictments are about the January 6th, or about the insurrection, or about the efforts to overturn the peaceful transfer of power, man. So this is what I've been waiting for, by, you know, since what, like January 7th of 2020, been waiting for this prosecution most of all.
Well, the 31st to the 18th, that's this week, next week, and the following week. So the next 3 weeks are going to be very interesting here. And I'm very curious to know how does this work? I mean, if Fonnie Willis comes in, obviously in the next 3 weeks, I mean, does Jack Smith wait?
No.
No,
he goes first.
Too.
So. He wants to beat her to the indictment, I would suspect. So if she's imminent, she's got blockades in Fulton County in Atlanta. If this is truly imminent, then Jack Smith, you're on the clock.
I mean, and Jack already gave, right? He already gave notice. There's a superseding indictment, and that cat was in court today. And apparently
Donald Trump said he could get indicted any day.
Any day.
How about today?
How about today's a good day? Today is a great day for Donald Trump to be indicted. And I don't have the gentleman's name, his longtime employee who was added to the indictment, along with the additional charges for Trump and Nauta, apparently couldn't find a local lawyer. So the judge gave him until next Thursday the 10th, a week from this Thursday, to show up with, you know, some local attorneys. So the delay tactics continue. Be a couple of days here, 10 days there, a few days there. Next thing you know, of course, what's the whole point of this? Well, he's purposefully trying to drive it into the election cycle. It's going to be very interesting to see how the courts and how the citizens of this country are going to handle the leading candidate, if you can believe it, the personal responsibility party, the fiscal responsibility party, the family values party. Donald Trump is killing the rest of his competitors. And he still, Crudy, I don't think he will show up here in Milwaukee later this month.
You know who has already promised he's coming to Milwaukee? And that, of course, is Ron DeSantis. You know, the distant second place. Well, Dom, here's something I think you and the audience should know. Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis earned at least $1.1 million from a new book, more than tripling its personal wealth from the last year. The Courage to be Free, a Florida blueprint for America's revival, earned him $1.1 to $6 million in combined royalties and advances. Yet here's something interesting to know. In 2022, DeSantis's net worth was less than $319,000, according to the Insider, meaning that DeSantis more than tripled his wealth with the book income, adding to a state of Florida salary ranging, you know, he gets paid $141,000 per year. But here's the interesting part, Dom. He owns no real estate, and he's got student loan debt of $15,000 or more. Reminds you of anyone. Like Scott Walker.
That's totally Scott Walker back when Walker was running for president. But now Scott Walker's getting paid like $800,000 from the Young Americas Foundation to, you know, motivate the youth vote. The two youths.
Dominic, also notable, Casey DeSantis, who's the driving force behind her husband's campaign, reported no income or assets, a detail that was not included in his recent personal financial disclosure from Florida. She's got no job other than propping his ass up.
The polling out today on the 24 Republican presidential nomination from the New York Times and Siena, Donald Trump polls at 54, DeSantis 17. Ramaswamy at 2, Pence at 3. Old Pence moving up. Haley at 3, Scott 3, Christie 2, Burgum 0, Hutchinson 0, Hurd at 1. Trump leads DeSantis by 37 points.
Oh, it's close. You're saying he's got a chance. A slim chance. Slim and none, and slim just left on.
Unbelievable. So it will be nice to see some of these other GOP members on the debate stage here in Milwaukee. Of course, that one sponsored by Fox News. And let's go back to the Scott Walker thing.
The Young Adolphs?
Yeah, the Young Americas Foundation, also a partial sponsor of this upcoming debate. No wonder why Scott Walker was begging Donald Trump, you got to come, because there's not going to be as many people watching, of course, without Donald Trump. I mean, come on. Scott Walker was begging so much. He's like, He's a prize fighter. And you gotta be in the ring, man. We need you in the ring. We need you on the wall. We want you on that wall. You know, it's amazing. I mean, Scott Walker got out of the race in 2016. So a more conservative candidate could rise to the top and defeat Scott Walker. And just like all the other megas and GOPs, they fell in line behind the most corrupt president this country has ever known.
Dominic, last chance, last announcement. Come on down to the Chippewa County Courthouse. The big event about to start here. I see Megan Wolf, I see Kathy Bernier, I see law enforcement, county clerks. People are going to learn all about the election process in the state of Wisconsin. Hopefully create more confidence. But don't forget, our old Maggie Dawn, she always creates confidence. She is next, the Maggie Dawn Show. And the Paul Revere Show at 7 o'clock right here. Keep it locked.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors.
We're we green and gold. And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.